Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we have been looking here at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And we've been looking at this issue of the exhortation that the Apostle Paul has been making a reference to here as he's writing to the saints here in Thessalonica, and how there's an entire process that an individual goes through related to this as they study God's Word after they have been saved, after they put their trust in the message that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and putting their trust in that and that alone, which gives someone salvation today, that once this occurs and then they start taking in God's Word rightly divided, that there's a process that as the doctrine comes in, that there's some changes that start to happen as they build up that edifice of doctrine. That's the edification. Then there's the exhortation, that encouragement that's coming with these things. And we've been looking at some of these aspects. I want to pick up with the verse that we left off with last week, which is in Romans chapter number 12. The renewing of the mind that actually occurs here. And in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read here the first two verses, which say, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, as the doctrine is coming in, you see that there's a renewing of the mind that actually happens, that the Spirit communicating with the Spirit that's inside of a man, building up this doctrine so a person has that information to be able to rely on as they're going about their life. And this is how the Christian life is to be influenced by these things as they're taking them in this manner. And we know that God is interested in the things that we do during this life. He wants us to do the good things as a result of the doctrine being in us. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we'll see here in Ephesians chapter number 2, a passage that's pretty familiar to those who understand right division, but there's people tend to have this aspect of deciding that they're going to only go so far with this verse. And let's pick up here at verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter number 2. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, people usually stop there and focus so much on the fact that the Apostle Paul is saying that individuals are saved by grace through faith, that there's nothing that is going on that would say, okay, that, you know, a person has to do certain things in order to either earn their salvation or maintain their salvation. And they say, well, there's you know, that's the primary focus, and really almost avoiding what we see here the very next verse, here in verse number 10, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so the issue being that God has ordained that we should walk in these good works. That it's not just a simple thing of, okay, you know, you're saved and that's it. That God wants an individual to be doing the good works as a result of the doctrine that's been given to us during this dispensation. And that's why you see this whole issue of, you know, Paul having to keep bringing these things up. And you see how in all of his epistles that he does deal with the practical things after he's laid out the doctrinal information that individuals need to be following. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter number 2. And we're going to see how this process actually works out here in Galatians chapter number 2, when the Apostle Paul writes here and talks about the life that we're living, when he says here in verses 20 and 21 of Galatians chapter number 2, where it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And the issue being that the individual, that the only way that we can really be doing the things that are pleasing unto God, as the doctrine is coming out of us, is by the fact that it would be Christ living in us and through us. So it would be the Lord Jesus Christ who's actually the one who is truly doing these things through us. You know, it's not us, because anytime it becomes us trying to do these things, we always see that when it's us, that it can never be done right. Because when it's us, we're going to make mistakes as we are going about and doing these things, because we're going to give into the lust of the flesh. Now let's go over to Philippians chapter number 1. We're going to come back to the book of Galatians in a couple minutes here, but I want to go over to Philippians chapter number 1 first, because we're going to see something that Paul writes here unto this assembly at Philippi, speaking about this, you know, the life that we're supposed to be living, in this kind of, you know, exhortation that's going on here. And in Philippians chapter number 1, we're going to start here at verse number 9. It says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." So Paul here speaking about these individuals, it says that he's praying that they would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. So that the idea of fruit is the result of what somebody is doing in their life. And as individuals are doing that, they're seeing the results of it. They're going to function, as he says later on in this same epistle, talking about individuals shining as lights unto individuals in the world. So that way individuals are doing the things that people can see that there truly is a difference between us and individuals in the world. That they don't just look at us and say, well, we're exactly like everyone else in the world, and why would I want to be part of this? That they can actually see that there is a true difference in who we are and who everyone else actually is. Now let's go back to Galatians. So we're going to chapter number 5 this time, but we're going to read the passage where the Apostle Paul lays out the fruit of the Spirit. After he's laid out these things that are identified as being the works of the flesh that are manifest, and he lists out a whole bunch of different things that are just the works of mankind. And then he says, well, here are the things that are identified as being the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to read verses 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter number 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, when individuals read this passage, and it's the unfortunate thing because of how, you know, so many of the modern translations have actually taken this passage, and instead of it saying the fruit of the Spirit, it's looked at as being the fruits of the Spirit. And so looking and saying, well, each one of these things is an individualized fruit. Now, the reason why an individual wants to do that is that way they can almost pick and choose which one of these that they want to, quote-unquote, be exhibiting in their life. Because, you know, certain things, like, for example, long-suffering, you know, most people don't want to have the fruit of long-suffering. And so, okay, well, I'm just going to kind of ignore that one, and I'm going to focus on these other ones that sound so much better. Now, when we look at how the Apostle Paul actually wrote this, the whole idea is it's not the fruits, plural, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So it's one fruit that manifests all of these things. So that fruit manifests the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All of these things are part of this fruit. And when these things are there, that is an encouragement to individuals on how it is that the life should be lived. Now, I'm going to go over to Titus chapter number 3. And we're going to see how, you know, when we want to see something that truly is, you know, that kind of encouragement for us, we can see how when Paul writes some of these things that, you know, if we truly understand what Paul is saying, we can see how these things are actually encouraging to individuals. And we're going to start here in Titus 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. And it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And so we see how, you know, it's nothing that we have done, but it's all of this comes upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is truly a encouragement for individuals. And that's true because we see how the world actually tries to grasp these things. The world tries to turn it into an aspect of that a person could do enough good works, that a person could do the right thing in order to try to earn these things. And Paul says that there's no way that we could ever do the right things that would actually earn these, that it all has to be a gift that was given to us by God in order for us to be exactly who God intends for us to be. Now, when we really think about this idea of individuals needing encouragement, you know, sometimes people struggle with that idea because they say, well, we know that we have all these spiritual blessings. You know, if we just know that, you know, everything should always just be okay in our lives and that we never should really have any sort of problems related to that, we start getting down about things, you know, feeling that idea of being depressed about things. Now, when we look at what the Apostle Paul says here, let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians now. And we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at a statement here that the Apostle Paul makes. And this is right after in chapter 1 he lays out how God is the God of all comfort. So he's instructing these individuals in Corinth about how the true idea of comfort can only come through God. But we see how he actually speaking about what is going on here with himself in verses 12 and 13, where it says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia." So we see how Paul's describing the feeling that he had when he arrived in Troas and how he says that he had no rest in his spirit, and that the reason why he had this feeling was because Titus was not there. He didn't have this member of the body of Christ who had been such an encouragement, such a vital part of his ministry up until this point, that he wasn't there. And it was having a negative impact on Paul going about and doing what he needed to do. And to the point where he can call it a fact that he had no rest in his spirit. Now, let's just turn a couple chapters over here. We're going to turn now to chapter number 7. And we're going to see how, with what Paul says here in chapter number 7, that you see the change that happens in him. And now we're going to read verses 5 and 6 of Titus, or of 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, which says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side with outward fightings, with inward fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." So he says in chapter 2 about how the fact that he had no rest in his spirit because Titus wasn't there. Then when we get to chapter number 7, he's identifying how there's all these physical problems that are going on as they're being afflicted because of their ministering of the gospel of the grace of God, and how there's a comfort that Paul has because Titus was actually there. So when Titus wasn't there, he didn't have that comfort. When Titus was there, he had that comfort. He had that encouragement. And that's a big part when we talk about being around the members of the body of Christ. Being around the members is a big encouragement for us because there are so few individuals who truly grasp what the Apostle Paul is teaching during this dispensation, that it should be an encouragement to be around individuals who are of a like mind. Now, let's go over to Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to see how Paul's going to actually talk here about an issue related to prayer and how this is to kind of help out with this idea of the encouragement and the exhortation that needs to be here. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter number 4. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And how Paul has to say for individuals to be careful for nothing. That we should not have, and that idea of careful is an idea of a worry that individuals might have, and that we should not be worrying about anything, because even when, you know, no matter what it is that's going on, we should be able to offer these things up to God in prayer in order for God to be able to provide the comfort and the encouragement that we need in order to be able to go about and do the things that we should be doing in our Christian life. Now, next week, we're going to start talking about some things related to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the one that gives us all of these things. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of some of our past messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything on our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.